Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to Higher Priestess. I am Persephone.
And I am Erin.
And in this episode, we are discussing...
And you are?
And who are you? And who am I? Little Gilderoy Lockhart reference for fans.
Just some Harry Potter going on there. We've asked you for your situs because a lot of you are struggling with toxic friends and friend breakups and friendship dilemmas. And they're fucking, some of them are juicy and infuriating.
Oh, love it. Also kind of outgrowing your friendships. Like what happens when you and your friend who you were close but have kind of gone different ways. And it's like, what, like, how does that?
You're not a match.
Honestly, it's not a match. You've swiped left.
Shall we go straight in? Any honourable quarantine mentions? My new thing that I ask you. I think we have to shout out Animal Crossing.
Of course, but not the new one because we don't have it.
This is how lame we are. Also, like, I'm not like other girls. I don't play Animal Crossing on a Switch.
We don't have New Horizons. We play Wild World.
Wild World on my MacBook Air from an old website called, like, Arcade Stop.
That is so...
It's awful. And the frame rate is way off and everything's awful.
Well, I'm one step up. I'm playing New Leaf. Which is just one...
You're living a life of luxury.
Yeah, I know. It's on at least a 3DS. Like, it's nowhere near a Switch.
Stunning.
But it's a 3DS. It's like, okay. But it's quite embarrassing. It's got loads of stickers that I put on my 3DS when I was, like, younger. One is so embarrassing. And it's so embarrassing because I also had this sticker on my laptop when I went to work. Like, when I was on, like... So it must have not been that long. It was kind of, like, 4 years ago.
Yeah, when you were, like, 18.
Yeah, and it's a big sticker in pink that says, Feminist...
Oh, cool.
And it kills me. It kills me because, like...
That's cute.
Like, I honestly thought that was, like, my brand. Like, I'm not like other girls. Like, feminist girl.
It kind of is.
Feminist girl.
Right.
On my work laptop. Yeah. Pink and white. It's, like, bubbly. It's, like, bubbly writing. It's, like, a baby pink and it's not cute. It's kind of the opposite of feminist as well because I'd be writing for my old job at this wedding, like, magazine, writing about, like, how to lose weight for your wedding. Big sticker on my thing. Feminist. It's, like, I'm literally killing
it. Was a big
women.
Fuck you to everyone else in the office.
I'm literally killing women's self-esteem and at the same time a self-proclaimed feminist. It's awful. It's absolutely awful.
Well, we do what we gotta do.
So yeah, I'm reliving some nightmares, but I'm also in the fun world of Animal Crossing.
So stunning. What's your world called?
Echo. It always is.
Oh, that's cool.
It's always called Echo.
Really?
Yeah, because I always play this game called Harvest Moon. I don't know if I've mentioned it to you.
Yeah.
Which I'm obsessed with.
You mentioned it to me. You mentioned it to me millions of times, but this might be, if you're listening, the first time you've ever heard it. But trust me, there's lots more mentions to come. There's more where that came from.
Genuinely, if you play Harvest Moon, please, please, please DM us because I'll talk to you about Harvest Moon until the sun goes down. Like, honestly, I love it so much. So I've been playing that. I've been playing Tale of Two Towns, if anyone hits me up. I'm trying to marry Cam.
Stunning.
He's not biting. Also trying to marry some other guy called Kana, but he's also not biting. That's what's going on in my life right now.
Oh, I've also been playing... Did you ever play The Sims Sims in the City on Game Boy Advance?
No, never. I wanted it, though.
And then I also was playing The Sims Bustin' Out on Game Boy Advance. Those are the games. But I'm not playing them on my Game Boy Advance because that's nowhere to be seen after my parents' traumatic divorce. So I'm playing it on... My laptop on an old website.
I never liked their sort of spin-off, like, different console games. Did you remember one that was called My Sims?
Yeah.
And it was kind of, they were big bobbleheads.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, it was awful.
In my opinion. I would never slander the franchise.
Oh, I'm slandering. It's awful.
I would never slander my franchise. But that's what I've been up to.
I mean, my Sims family are thriving, though.
Good.
My Sims family are called the Embers, and they've all got names like...
Echo.
Fire, Flame. No, not Echo. Echo's the name of my daughter in future.
But similar.
Yeah. So similar.
That style.
Kind of, they've all got kind of... They're all called, like, Scorpio, things like that. Like, they're quite cool names in my mind.
I love it.
Like, the lamest sort of all names.
I love that... Sims is now socially acceptable.
Yeah, it's sad that it's not. Like, why is it socially acceptable to, like, watch... I've been watching Netflix. I've been binging Tiger King.
It's like, suddenly that's romanticised. Ugh. We really make me sick.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? That's like, it's kind of cool, girls. Like, right, I've just been watching Netflix. But it's like, that's just watching TV. Like, you're just watching TV.
Yeah.
That's not a cool, hot thing. Like, you've basically just been watching Come Dine With Me.
In reality, like, you're covered in kind of ketchup.
Yeah.
And, like, Dorito dust.
Yeah. It's not hot.
And the TV is still on in the background. Like, it's not, like, a cutesy thing.
But it's been made aesthetic. It's like, let's watch Netflix. But it's like, or it's like, I've just done nothing but watch Netflix for days. And it's like, why is that hot? You've literally just been watching Dinner Date on ITV, essentially.
But I do kind of love that it's hot as well.
Oh, yeah, it needs to be, because it's my lifestyle.
But I do, I kind of enjoy the romanticisation of things.
In what way?
I quite like it. I quite making, like, a tiny, normal thing really cute.
Oh, yeah, I was watching a YouTube video the other day, and they're like, I'm making my morning tea.
It's my ritual. I put
the tea bag in, and I put the water in. It's like, God, you've managed to make making a cup of tea aesthetic. It's like, God, you really have a I like it. Yeah,
but it's true that I think it comes down to that, like, human ritual and, like, our tendency to need like a pattern and also, like, something to celebrate, especially in times of trauma.
Oh my God, yeah, literally.
It's like, oh, what, so now a cup of tea is, like, totemic of your life.
Yeah.
And it is.
It's like, every morning I have a tea, like, I need my cup of tea in the morning. Yeah, I completely agree. I actually do need my cup of tea in the morning, but it's also, like, it's weird that it's been made into, like, your morning routine. It's like, I'm not even thinking of that as part of my routine. Like, it's not even you don't even think of it. It's like, before you know, you just got a tea in your hand. It's not like I'm putting the tea bag in.
But that's why I quite like the romanticisation, because it makes me enjoy those things more.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, having a bath for me has changed since I was, like, 10. Before it was like, all right, I'll just get in the bath. Now it's like, oh, it's my ritual of my bath time ritual. It's, like, so stunning.
Literally. I'm putting crystals in my bath these days.
Yeah, it's like a whole thing. So I think it's quite nice.
Like, I put crystals in the water. Like, I put, like, a big fat crystals. They sink right to the bottom. I step on them. They're quite sharp.
Oh.
Well, I know where they are, but when it's a bubble bath, sometimes you've got to be a bit careful.
Do you ever have, like, bath salts and they don't, like, kind of, they're not, like, dissolving properly?
Yeah. Well, we got that one from Goddess Provisions, our sponsor. We love Goddess Provisions.
Yeah, they were really nice.
We got this lavender bath soak thing.
I used them all in one go, did you?
No, I've been really, like, eking it out, like, one salt at a time.
You've been Charlie Bucketing it.
One grain of salt. I'm really, like, a spoon at a time, like a little shake.
Wow. It's because I've got weird flex, but okay, an abundance of bath salts. When I say literally, like a 5-litre paint bucket.
Oh my God.
Of bath crystals. I have that, and then, like, loads of other.
Okay, yeah, you're not needing it. I kind of...
So it's kind of like, I need to get through this shit.
I kind of have the
one
thing.
There's only so many baths to be had.
I just have the one thing, and I'm like, let's make this last till
June. Let's save this. Yeah, that's nice.
Till the next box of Goddess Provision comes along. Yeah,
exactly. Should we get into the questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I need to get them up.
I kind of want to ask you some questions about friendship, though.
Okay, you go.
So what are your thoughts on, like, toxic friendships, healthy friendships? Like, do you think within your history of friendship that you have, like, worked out a way to keep your friendships healthy? Or, like, do you still struggle with, like, toxic friendships, outgrowing your friendships? Like, what are your friendships like in life?
I think sometimes my perspective on friendships and the reality of my friendships is not, like, don't always align.
Yeah, I agree.
As in, I feel like verbally, or, like, in my, like, kind of, if I'm, like, introspective, I think communication is everything, and that to me is healthy and that to me is like the way to make things work. Unfortunately, like I'm not perfect, so I'm not a perfect communicator in all scenarios. And then beyond that, you could be perfect. It doesn't mean someone else or your friend is going to be mm-hmm. also the perfect communicator.
And almost like willing to go there with you.
Exactly.
If you can be asked to go there.
Yeah, not everyone is kind of... The problem, I think, with friendships is with romantic relationships, there's an expectation and like a standard that you will meet in the middle and you will match the energy that is being, mm-hmm. you know, it's much more reciprocal. Whereas I feel like in friendships, things are let slip.
And it's constantly being questioned.
Yeah. With relationships, it's much like romantic relationships. If this isn't working, you'll dip out, hopefully.
Yeah.
With friendships.
And also with romantic relationships, it's like you're only expected to have one. So it's constantly under an analysis. It's constantly being like under a microscope, constantly being looked at, examined.
Is this the best I can get?
Yeah. Whereas with friendship, it's like I've got so many of them and they're spread all over the globe.
Yeah. Yeah.
huge web of them. But it's like, I've got so many of them that it's like I'm not only just balancing, it's not just one relationship.
I can't keep an eye on them at all times.
Yeah. It's kind of, it was easier when you're in primary school. It's like, you're my first best friend, you're my second best friend, and you're my third best friend. But now it's like, okay, well, I have about 7,000, not ridiculous.
7, got about 000. Seven. All of you guys.
7,400 of you.
Besties.
But I've got about, what, 7 second best friends and like all of this stuff. And it's just sort of like, yeah. Okay, so I'm kind of, you're balancing all of this stuff. It's like, something's got to give. I'm like looking after you at the moment, but I've also got to, it's so unromantic, but a lot of admin.
Mm. And often I think in romantic relationships, your expectation of what you would want from a romantic partner is often mirrored by the person that you choose to be in a relationship with, versus yeah. you could be friends with a whole load of people who see a good friend as something that is very different to what you are or what you would want.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Totally. And also it's like, what's the expectation? Because I have some friends that I used to see all the time. And now it's like, I don't need to see you all the time. It doesn't mean I don't want to be friends with you. It just means that has shifted.
Mm.
Or I don't need to phone you all the time. It's just things have shifted.
I don't want to be in constant comms with everyone I know. I really don't.
It's just quite weird that it shifts.
Yeah. So what do you think yours are like? What's your friendship landscape looking like these days?
Again, I think I could be a better communicator or push that more. Because I think what we'll come to in this is that communication is key. It's like so fucking obvious. And it literally is the answer to life. Mm. But it's like, why can none of us fucking do it then and be consistent with communication?
Yeah, it's really difficult because even though I think you and I are good communicators.
Yeah, but with each other, we're good communicators.
With each other. But that's because we will match.
Mm.
It's almost like also in our lives... I was going to say we're on a similar path. We're on the same path right now. Like,
we're hand in hand. Honestly, the animals walk 2.2.
How is that the second time we've said that in the season?
I don't know.
But it's difficult because even though I have friendships that are like insanely, like of the utmost importance to me.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily on the same, they don't view like, they don't view life in the same way as me, let alone relationships.
I think that's one of the main issues in my friendship landscape is that there kind of tends to be a bit of a disconnect between like worldview.
Mm.
And that is, and especially I really, really, really struggle with like a political difference in that I mean, you may have guessed from this podcast that we're both like left-wing, liberal.
What? I'm a fucking Tory.
You're like, Brexit till I die, Brexit till I die. yeah, so then, and I have a few of my friends that's just worldview and like political, like compass, just do not align. And I just really struggle with like communication in that way of like, if I tell you what I think and you tell me back, there's going to be an argument. So what? We just both turn a blind eye and we just both ignore each other, but I completely disagree with you.
Yeah, it's like, what, I'm supposed to reserve some energy
mm-hmm.
ready to, like, essentially argue with people who I really care about. Yeah, about topics that I really care about.
And the sad thing is that no one's changing. It's like, as much as I am set in my thing of I'm not budging on those views that I believe.
Why should
blah,
they?
Blah, blah. Yeah, they're not budging on the fact that they think... Oh, but they're taking the money. They're taking the jobs. They're not budging.
Talking about here?
I have friends that genuinely believe that and have said very, very similar things and have voted for Boris Johnson and very, very right-wing things in their life and stand by that with like their full chest.
Mm.
And they're not budging. They're not going to budge because I one day say, wait, but have you thought about maybe the fact that's a bit like wanky of you to think that? And they're like, yeah, but they fight it.
Yeah, it's difficult because then obviously, how could we ever get back to, you're my number one best friend, and you're my number two best friend, and you're my number three best friend in primary school. It's like our issues are so far from what they once were. Like, and even then, things were dramatic.
It's like, I don't have time to write a list of you.
Exactly. Oh, it's crazy.
Literally, yeah. So friendship is complicated, and I think we're going to get into the answer of life. The answer to everything is communication, but it is still the fucking hardest thing to do, to like fucking say what you're actually thinking and actually give a shit what they think.
I think a lot of people also hear communication is key, it's all about communication, and translate that in their minds as to arguments, confrontation.
Yeah.
Like kind of being so vocal about things and, oh my God, it's so uncomfortable and blah, blah, blah. It's not necessarily, you just have to be honest.
Yeah. And also care about what they're going to say, because I think that's one of the things. It's like when you say to me, communication is key. Oh, brilliant. Talking, that's my special skill. I'll just say that, say what I think. But it's like,
yeah, you have to listen.
And you might even have to question yourself and do all the difficult stuff.
Yeah.
That communication isn't just saying what you think and turning a blind eye.
It's, do you think it's worth it?
Yeah, it's not just write a monologue and say that. It's like a whole, it's just so much more.
Yeah. It's a dialogue.
It's a full duologue.
Honestly, you thought it was a monologue. Oh no. It's a dialogue.
Guys. You've got to learn your lines and you better know your cues. Should we do some questions?
Yeah. Okay, we both loved this question, right?
More than life itself.
Wow. I love doing things like this because it just shows how everyone is dealing with the same, honestly, same shit, different day. Is that we really do all be living the same life?
Yeah.
Okay, so they say, my friend said she wants to be curvy like me. I'm a size 10 and insecure because of her comments.
This makes my absolute blood boil, curdle, because it's just so... I mean, this is just so relevant, and we've seen this time and time and time and time and time again. Like, your friend basically being jealous of you and then saying something, but also kind of bringing you down. It's your drowning analogy. We told it in one of them, if you want to tell it again.
This is my thing that I always think about whenever someone's trying to tear me down. essentially, it's often people in your life who are closest to you. But they just can't stand to see you happy or see you succeed. Mm-hmm. And they want to take a piece for themselves. And it feels like they are drowning, so miserable in their own lives, like so upset with themselves, drowning. Mm-hmm. And they will happily use you and push your head down to keep them afloat.
My God, shivers every time. Honestly, retweet if you get shivers every time.
It was a real, it's funny because that analogy obviously was a real direct consequence of a really similar situation to this, of someone commenting constantly on my life and why I had things so easy or why I had things so shit and blah, 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 blah. Just keep me and my name out of your fucking business, please. I'm trying to do my backstroke here.
Honestly, I'm working on, did you ever do a stroke that was called sculling?
No.
Do you remember that?
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not the strongest swimmer.
Well, there's one called sculling that I could never perfect. And I'm always trying to work on that when I go for a dip.
What is it?
It's kind of, you lie completely straight on your back and you just move your wrists in circles.
Oh my God. I don't have the wrist power for that. I broke my wrists a long time ago.
No, but then I invented my own stroke.
Oh, what is it?
You lie very flat on your front.
Ooh, kind of like you're dead. So,
yeah. And then you let yourself sink to the bottom and die. No, you move your hands in kind of, it's called the helicopter, in like a helicopter motion. The fingers are pointed up and to be honest, it does propel you somewhere, but not that very fast.
Love it. I'll give it a go.
Yeah, give it a go, the helicopter.
When I make it out alive of this quarantine scenario and don't have a pool, do you?
No.
Far from. So what do we think?
Well, this question just gets me specifically because it hits me very hard because of the specifics, because it says I'm a size 10 and people call me curvy, which I am also a size 10. And if someone called me curvy with the connotations of curvy,
mm-hmm.
it would trigger a load of my like body dysmorphic tendencies. And I think that would really, if it was coming from a friend, it would be particularly harmful to me. So this one kind of gets my like my blood curdling. yeah. If you've listened to the body image episode, you know about our experiences with body image and things like that. So I think this one here hits particularly hard because also women are so judged on their like appearances and just everything about their physicality that your friend commenting on your weight specifically is just, I would say, unacceptable and needs to be addressed.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I completely agree, and I completely agree, yeah, it needs to be addressed, because I think, as we've said already, and I think what the theme that will come out, what we will continue to say, is essentially what you don't want to happen is for this to build up even more. There's obviously some sort of pit of resentment already going on, and you mm-hmm. do not want it to fester. Or do you? I don't know. But yeah. If you don't, and you want to, you either want to cancel the friendship and you don't care about the resentment, or you want to, you think this is worth keeping around and you want to make it nicer for both of you,
yeah.
then you're 100% going to need to address it properly with like real honest communication, and it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. Also, I don't think with comments like this, it's worth throwing the whole friend away, because it's like everyone is so, as women, we live in such a weird, weird society where we've been given all these insecurities that aren't our own, and we've just internalized them all. So your friend has got a load of insecurities. They're carrying a load of shit about their body around, like most of us are, like essentially all of us are. So it's going to come out, and it's unfortunately come out at you, which is horrific. It's unacceptable. Blah, blah, blah. We know that is not acceptable.
Yeah.
But it's also just like, it's worth questioning why they thought it was okay to say that, why specifically it was about you, and mm-hmm. how they're feeling about their own body. I think it's about asking all of these questions rather than,
yeah.
and setting a very clear boundary of that is never, ever okay to comment on that.
Mm.
But interrogating it rather than being like, they're just a fucking insecure, jealous bitch. Bye.
Yeah. Why are they drowning?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, because we're all drowning.
Yeah, why were they drowning in the first place? And then you can meet each other kind of as equals, part of this life as equals, yeah. but you can meet yeah. as kind of, you can both come in. You're coming from the same perspective.
The Harry Potter references are insane.
as equals.
they left this life as equals.
So stunning, though.
That's from the animated section of the Deathly Hallows.
I love it.
So my sister was saying the other day she didn't like that. I was honestly saying, this is one of the most stunning things I've ever seen in my life. And I said it at the time, and I'll say it again.
Part of this life as equals. Her voice.
Just when they make the bridge, it's the bridge. And it's like, it's the reflection of the water. Then it's the bridge. Oh, it's just like beyond. It's beyond me.
So good.
Yeah.
Okay, so just pull that back.
That might get cut.
Just reining that back in. Who knows?
The bridge, though. The bridge. It's like, this podcast really is chaotic.
Honestly chaotic.
Yeah.
It's difficult as well, because I actually think there's a lot of, I think the reason often that a lot of us don't want to communicate or find it hard to like approach that situation is because you end up feeling a bit ridiculous, because it's like,
yeah,
if you don't say it there and then, you've missed the slot. It feels like it, yeah, feels like the train has just gone on and you've missed the window, and now you're just left kind of standing on the platform with your luggage that's like festering bad feelings towards your friend.
Yeah. And it's like, what, you're going to bring it up in 10 months' time? Yeah. Well, you said that one time and then it seems ridiculous.
But I think it's necessary.
I think I'm actually really good at this. This is the thing that I think me and my friends have got really good at. And you've actually pointed this out, that me and a specific friend do this really well to each other.
I always say you and Stella communicate so perfectly, because whenever anything crops up, it's just immediate. And I had the pleasure of living with both Steffi and Stella last year. Yeah, like it was last year. Mm. And it's just nice to see. Anyway, take it away.
I wasn't good at it, but we've developed it like between the two of us.
It's because you value the friendship as well.
We have just really mastered it, and it's because of a long... Yeah, and we've really worked through some... Not through shit, but we've just worked on our own insecurities together with stuff.
Yeah.
And whenever something is said... So I'm trying to think of an example, but like if I said... If she says, oh, which outfit do you prefer? And I said, oh, I prefer that one. I just think the other one didn't suit you. Something just random like that. It's completely off, like this didn't happen. And then later, she would just say, hi, by the way, I don't know why, but that really upset me when you said that that didn't suit me. And it would, even no matter how ridiculous it is, it will always be brought up, because what, then you go on the night out thinking, God, it just didn't suit me. It's obviously because I'm so ugly and gross and blah, 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 blah. And your insecurities just all come out if something has triggered you.
Yeah.
But if you just bring it up to the person, honestly, it sounds so simple, but it really will. It's been a practice as well, because some things seem so ridiculous that just you can't bring them up.
Mm.
It's like, I can't possibly. And there's some things I would never bring up to anyone else that I'd bring up to her and be like, when you said that specific thing,
yeah,
it triggered me for this reason. Like, can you explain why you said that and what it was? And it's always, always nothing.
Yeah. The always. Benefits of that as well are twofold, because
mm-hmm.
not just are you resolving whatever situation it was and you get a chance to discuss kind of your insecurities and deal through your own issues and have a bit of a kind of therapeutic chat with someone that you care about.
Mm.
But just by having that communication where you both have to be brutally honest just shows that you care so much. It's just such a really important reminder of like, okay, here we are both
yeah.
fighting for something that we both want.
Yeah.
It's just so important.
Yeah, because it's just a whole different way of communicating, which has definitely taken me a long time. Like when we first met each other, it's not like we're always throwing out, we're like, you look fucking gross.
yeah.
Gross. Then we're having to apologize. It's like just noticing small things that go unsaid in conversations that just usually get blown under the rug and just picking them out and being like, when you said that. So it just means there's nothing it really is a friendship where there's nothing unsaid.
Yeah.
Which is, to be honest, I think my kind of blueprint for all my other friendships.
Same. And rare.
Yeah. But it also, it's work. It's like, it does take two people to be like,
yeah,
we're gonna commit. Literally, we are in a relationship.
Yeah.
But it's like two people committing to like, okay, we're gonna not let emotions, like insecurities, rule some, like, I don't know, it's just been really healthy.
Yeah. I think what's really important as well for the person who left this message is if you sometimes as well you don't say things straight away because you almost don't realize that it's upset you, or you're not sure quite why.
You don't realize it's hurt you.
Yeah.
Or your instinct is to be like, someone say, oh, curvy. Oh, yeah, cool, yeah. Like, laugh it off or something. Not that that is ever offensive.
Just
like,
come out with something. You just make a big old joke, or you just like...
Yeah.
Or just completely ignore it, talk about something else, blah, blah, blah. You brush it away because the immediate kind of dig, your gut reaction isn't to be like, oh, let me have an amazing communication about this.
It does take a few minutes. And sometimes it comes out an hour later and you realise, wait, why am I feeling a bit bad? And you trace it back and go, oh, it was because of that comment.
Or weeks later.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so when we got asked this question, I initially thought of like this very specific example that we both witnessed between two of our friends. And it was such a bizarre thing for someone to say, but also so common. And we've all heard this and we've all done this and we've all been the recipient of this kind of comment
mm-hmm.
so many times. But one of our friends was trying on a pair of jeans, was it? Yeah, she was trying on a pair of jeans, and the other friend said, oh my god, these are getting so tight on me, like I can't, they're always so tight on me. And the other friend said, oh, I have that pair of jeans too, but they're always so loose on me. And it was just a cop, and nothing was said, nothing more than that, but it's just enough for the friend that was trying on the jeans, they were too tight, for that just to linger in her mind. And she brought it up to the rest of us later. It should have obviously been expressed to the person, but it was just that thing of like, that was such a camouflaged insult that you feel like you almost can't bring it up, but it just goes somewhere in you of like, oh thanks, you basically just called me fat. But very, very subtly, and in a very manipulative way that you almost feel guilty to acknowledge it.
Yeah, I think also the common theme amongst a lot of your situations is the subtlety of what it means to be insulted.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if, for in that example that you just gave, even if the other friend, it just came to her mind, and she said, oh my god, that's so funny because mine is so big, like I keep meaning to like take them, I keep meaning to get a smaller pair, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee that after she said it, even if she didn't intend to say it in that insulting way, after she would have thought, oh, oopsie. And she very easily could have said, I really didn't mean it like that, by the way. Like,
yeah.
Or even 10 minutes later be like, oh, it just sunk in that when I said that,
yeah,
it could have sounded like I was saying it like this and I 100% wasn't. Like, were you upset by what I said, etc.?
Yeah. And that needs to become normalised. That kind of conversation.
Exactly, because I was going to say, that kind of conversation sounds so
extreme,
jarring and almost unrealistic.
Yeah.
To be like, did it upset you when I said that? Or I've just realised what I said might have sounded
really
ridiculous and I just wanted to say sorry, like, did that upset you?
I completely agree.
But the more you say it, the more normal it becomes, and it should be, normalised, because that's the only way you get through without building up hatred for people that you spend a lot of time with.
Yeah, exactly. Because now that was never expressed between those friends and
it will live on forever.
But it kind of just does just live in you a little bit of like, oh, that time when they said that. And also, when you were talking about the subtlety of things, and I think that's so key, because the subtlety for both of these examples is you are fat. But we acknowledge that being fat is not inherently bad. It's not a bad thing to be. We should be comfortable with being called that because it's not negative. We've only been encouraged to hate our bodies through the patriarchy. So it's like you have this weird guilt of the fact that shouldn't be an insult. But you are offended because we've been brainwashed. And it's this weird thing of like, you want to acknowledge, why is that offensive?
Yeah, you're not wrong for being insulted for being called curvy by one of your friends. That's valid.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly layered.
Because we've all been told to hate, yeah.
Yeah. General rule of thumb, just don't comment on what anybody looks like.
Ever. Yeah. My mum always used to say a thing to me, don't comment on anything that somebody cannot choose. And I think that's really true, because it's like, you could kind of say, like, what a ridiculous hat that you're wearing. But you wouldn't say, I hate your eye colour. It's like, oh, well, there's nothing I can do. I can get rid of my hat, but I can't, my eyes are forever brown. Like, it's just quite, I think, quite a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Room for improvement. I will always, always just push communication and authenticity with, like, authentic lack of ego conversation. With saying, I'm happy with my body, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you don't need to be happy with your body. You don't need to be body positive here. You can just say...
Often the immediate reaction is to overcompensate.
Yeah, yeah.
I also just... It made me think about... a similar situation I had, and actually the situation that the drowning scenario came out of, which is hilarious. I would be heartbroken if I like had some sort of relationship with somebody, we weren't friends anymore, and they came up with a whole like analogy of how I made them feel of drowning. Awful.
Yeah,
but
that's bad.
I was in, by the time I had realized and picked up on all of the things over the years that they had said to me that made me feel a certain way, it was too late because they were no longer in my life. They're still alive, but no longer in my life, thank God.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, I was in no position to contact them again and say, hey, when you said this on the 12th of December in 2012, it made me feel this way. So I wrote it all down. I wrote like a long list of everything bad that I had stored in myself about me and like between us and blah, 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 blah. And then just like got rid. And that's quite nice, I think.
That's really nice.
Like if you're in a situation where someone has ever said anything to you and you're not going to bring it up, get it out of you. I know it sounds like dumb to write it down, but it actually is quite nice.
It doesn't sound dumb.
You can kind of write quite angrily and like really scribble and like really press hard on the paper and just...
I love that.
And then it's like, okay, well, I finally thought about everything you did, so there's no need to think about it ever again.
Write a letter. 100%. I never send it.
Yeah, because I'd constantly be going through my life thinking, I just remembered that thing that they said. I'd completely forgotten about that.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you keep remembering things bit by bit, if you kind of establish a new memory, which is just you and the paper, it's like just your memories, nothing to do with them.
It's so true.
And you rewrite all of those memories of just the way that you think about it. Very healing.
I also think that's a really healthy thing to do after a breakup.
Maybe burn
or
it.
After, yeah, I burnt it. Well, I did that. I told you about this. When I wrote a letter that I was never, ever, ever going to send and burnt it. And it genuinely is. Mm. It sounds so like Wicker Girl. Do you know what I mean? Like it's so, like you just morph into.
Simply cannot.
Yeah, you honestly, you morph into Hermione a witch at this point. But you literally write a letter and you just burn it. And it's just so fucking, you just literally feel it leave you. Because it's like, yeah, that's never going to be read, but it's out of me now.
Mm.
And I love it. It's literally a fucking magic spell, but love it.
And if it's not, do it again.
Yeah, and also, it's not out of you forever. Like, it's going to come up again, but it's also, no. You get your thoughts out.
Yeah. Because for me, it was a real issue that I kept thinking kind of on a Friday afternoon, it'd be like, la-di-da-di-da, oh my God, they told me that once. And it's like, I actually don't have the time to be constantly reminding myself of these dumb things that I thought I'd forgotten, so I'm just going to get them out one
toxic.
Last time.
And then you reenact a whole argument where you, like, beat them in an argument, and it's like, what?
Yeah, you finally say what
it's
you
bad.
Say. Ugh.
Don't, no more fake arguments in the shower, guys.
Waste
We're only
time.
Doing paper and burning it. Send us pictures of your letters that you're burning.
Do you remember that time that we had a candle and we put self... We Do you remember that?
Me and Erin did a magic spell.
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
It backfired.
It was a real eat slugs moment. What we did is we got a candle... And we wrote down on a piece of paper, self-hatred. Oh my God. So mortifying. We wrote down self-hatred on a very, very small piece of paper. And we're like, we're going to burn self-hatred. It doesn't exist anymore. We're getting rid of it from the world. And we put it into the candle. But because it was a candle and not a fire, it fell straight into the wax and kind of crystallized and just became a laminated piece of paper, essentially, with the word self-hatred written really clearly on it.
I'm fucking dying. That was honestly the most I've ever fucking loved in my life.
I've got a picture of it as well.
It's just a big old candle that says self-hatred.
Oh my God.
Oh, shit.
And it was just this piece of paper that was really thick, but you could really clearly see
God.
Self-hatred.
That
and maybe
is
I'll
so
put it on the story
funny.
So everyone can see it if we get any DMs.
Also, completely, like, diminishes all of our credibility of everything we just said.
It's like, guys, it's so helpful.
If all else fails,
laminate a piece of paper in wax. Your embarrassing letter that you've written, like, I still love you.
It was like our kitchen candle that everyone would light. It's like, people are going to see this. Fuck. That was so funny.
Forever sealed in wax. So that's why there's still self-hatred in the world, guys. We didn't manage to abolish it.
Maybe next time. Next cue?
Yeah, let's do the next one.
So, my best friend and I are kind of going down the same career path, and I notice it gets competitive. Ooh. We have drifted recently, which I think has been good for us. I can't tell her any of my future business plans either, as she just copies me and takes them as her ideas when they were mine. I'm not the only one who sees this either. I don't know if I should work on fixing the friendship or if I should just let it drift. A lot going on there.
I love this one. I love when people write... They did this in the question boxes, but like jumping from question box to question box. I was loving it. It's like a whole puzzle you've got to put together. I love this because I think it's so a universal problem. And I had this in school, and you're going to have this in every career you go into.
The thing that I immediately think of when I look at this question is how, as you say, universal it is. And just, I think, not even if you're on the same career path, I think just in life, especially amongst women, it's just so prevalent that there's so much comparison. It's really hard to avoid.
Completely. Because we're told that we're just told a load of fucking bollocks, and it goes somewhere. It sits in you and it just waits to jump out at someone, and the people it jumps out at are the people closest to you. So you see your friend succeeding and you view it as a direct attack on your own success, which is horrific. And it's something that we are constantly challenging within ourselves, and it's so important to constantly challenge.
Really difficult.
Yeah.
Because beyond, like, communication, so they've drifted already.
Yeah.
So the other friend, I I'm inferring. The other friend is also picking up on this vibe, and there's just a whole lot of kind of under the surface tension, I think.
What I find sad about this one in particular is that it's surrounded by Korea and, like, therefore capitalism. It's like
only one can be number one type of situation. Yeah. It's like you're not jeopardizing your life to have a friend.
God, it's awful.
Like, they're not mutually exclusive. You can have both. You kind of need both.
You absolutely do. And also,
you need a friend.
If you need one, whether a career or a friend, one is man-made and one is instinctual. Go for the fucking friend. Always go for the friend. One is completely a societal construct of my career, which is grounded in ego and money and ridiculous things and material possessions and just like external opinions of your success. Man-made, doesn't exist. The other one is human connection with a like-minded person. Go for that. Always, always prioritize that.
I think what this person is struggling with is that, yeah, I think the person wants that because they want to have this friendship, and yet their friend is like stealing their ideas. That would fucking piss me off.
Well, that's happened to me before.
Imagine.
I used to have someone at school.
Many a time.
Who, I won't say the lesson. Too specific.
Lesson is too obvious.
Lesson is too obvious. But I had someone who, we were quite competitive in this one particular lesson, and they always would kind of take my ideas a little bit. And I actually had it once at uni. It's so painful when someone takes your ideas because it feels so personal, and it just builds up such resentment because it's like, how dare you take something that was very much inside my own body, I expressed to you, and now you pass it off as your own. It's so painful.
It's really sour.
Yeah. And it leaves you with that poison feeling in your body of just like, now I've got to prove that I was the smart one. And it's like, ugh. I actually think I've just thought of the answer to this situation, which is not my... So this is kind of what my friend does when her friend... She has a friendship that is very much rooted in ego, and the girl kind of that she's friends with is kind of very trying to be competitive with her about things and trying to kind of prove that she's like better at everything and kind of the prettier one, the cooler one, and more people like her and things like that. They're very, very old friends. Like, they're kind of her like childhood friends. So it's not a friendship she's willing to sacrifice, yet that cannot be going on. What she does is absolutely genius. And she takes her swimming into a swimming pool. They've got wet hair. They're in swimming costumes. And it's just so genius because you cannot have an ego when your hair is wet and you're in a swimming pool and you're in a swimming costume and you're a bit drowning a little bit and you're doing some fucking doggy paddle.
And you're doing the scuffle or whatever it's called.
Sculling. You're like, I invented a new stroke. And they immediately, because their friendship was made in childhood and now they're adults and they're struggling with that kind of dynamic of like competitiveness and things like that, it just brings it all back. And I think it's fucking genius because it just
so clever.
Strips ego from the whole thing and you're just two kids in the water again. And it's genius. I honestly think it's so the go-to way. If you're in a competitive situation with your friend, go and you still value that friendship, go to a place that the ego has no place.
It just
ego
can't,
cannot exist in a swimming pool.
And we're not talking also like a glamorous swimming pool. It's not like a pool party. No, it's like a kind of all the old people around.
We're talking about a leisure.
Yeah. Or they were. R.I.P. That's a bit much. The corona is getting to my head. No, anyway.
Yeah, just go somewhere that cannot be glamorous and you're not in an outfit and all your makeup comes off and you're back to being like a human, an animal, essentially. You're no longer
the person. You're just pure friends.
Yeah. It's like there's so much pretense. So say you're meeting your friend for coffee. You're kind of pretending to be adults and you're pretending that that's like a normal situation. Mm-hmm. Like we're going for coffee, but it's like, but we made friends by throwing mud in each other's faces when we were seven. And now we're going for coffee and I put on a little outfit. I've got little earrings in and I'm going for my look. And I've come with a load of fucking baggage and ego with how I've chosen to dress myself.
We've both driven here separately.
And you're going to say, oh, so how is your job? It's great. Mark from the office says blah, 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 blah.
And if you don't break that barrier immediately, it won't be broken the whole time. And you'll drive home feeling a bit like ill.
Totally. And have you had that?
A bit stale.
I've had that loads.
Definitely. You need to break the barrier immediately of being like, my hair's really greasy.
I've just done a shit.
Yeah.
Just say I've just done a shit.
Yeah, something like, kind of that just immediately lowers the stakes.
And I would always say, don't go for coffee. Don't meet in a cafe, because it's just, it's an environment that just is so fake to me.
Like, what, is this a job interview?
Why are we sitting opposite each other drinking a cup? Like, what is that? Like, that's never happened before. Usually we're sitting in our pajamas and we're talking about whatever and we look like states. Why are we in outfits drinking from a cup opposite each other? No.
Kind of, are we like autumnal Christian bloggers?
No.
With
no.
our pumpkin spice.
Literally, I'm drinking a hot cocoa. Like, no.
Yeah.
I can't do it's it bad. Because I'm like, but I will meet you for a fucking dog walk where we're gonna step in shit and we can fucking laugh our heads off.
Kind of, you need to like go to the cinema and then like...
I was gonna say the cinema is genius.
It's the place to be. God, I can't wait to get back in that cinema.
Oh, you just wait. Day in...
Cinema's not gonna know what's hit it.
Should we answer the next question?
Yeah. Okay, next question. And we're answering this in the nick of time.
Mm-hmm. It just came in just now.
Just came in hot off the press. Bear with, because it's a bit complex, but I think it's interesting on a couple levels. So there's a couple things I want to pick up
and
on.
Also, we're really sorry if we didn't answer your questions. We literally got so many questions about this, and we just talked for hours and hours on each single one. If you want another friendship, just hit us up and we'll do another one.
So here we go. First term of uni, best friends with a boy who'd always complain about his girlfriend from home. I'd always tried to see her side of things, but ultimately she sounded toxic. In brackets, cutting off his friends, etc. So in the end, I said, look, I want you to be happy. Just act accordingly to what will make you happy. He tried breaking up with her, didn't succeed. Now we rarely hear from him, but when they visit each other at uni, it's radio silence from him, and he said he doesn't think anything's changed. But I think the only reason he's still occasionally replying and never reaches out first is because he's living with us next year. Okay, I think a couple of things there. Yeah,
well, I love it because it's about uni. So it's like, we have thoughts on this, but go on.
Well, just, you're so right. At uni, everything is such a bubble where it's so, like, everything feels so extreme and, like, heightened. It's quite, it's just, everything's a drama and it's so fun.
Who you're living with feels...
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things that I wanted to pick up on was the fact that she said, I think he's only replying to us because he's living with us next year. And it's so that thing of maintaining a friendship out of not just politics, but just enough to keep it hanging on.
It's not okay. It's actually not okay. Not acceptable behaviour to do that, ever. And
well, I had to do that.
What, as in do just enough?
In my first, I knew, I was in a similar situation in the sense that, and I think a lot of people are, in the sense that you know you're going to end up living with people that you don't have necessarily like a really amazingly healthy relationship with, or like you're really close.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely had a situation where I knew I was going to be living with people. And to be honest, it was hanging on by a thread. It was a group of girls and there were a lot of different dynamics in there.
Should we say this isn't my group of friends? Like, this isn't me.
Yeah, this is nothing to do with
We live together in third year, but this must be a different year.
This was,
prior.
This is a different year.
Yeah.
This is a different year. And to be honest, I don't think there's any, from my end, there's no bad feelings because I don't care. And I'm sure everyone is, you know, happy and living their best life. And I, to be honest, think that, for the most part, everyone's a nice person. But it was just a tricky situation where I knew I was going to be living with people that didn't necessarily fucking love me.
And you didn't love.
And I... It was reciprocated.
There was little to no love neutral. Around.
Yeah. Honestly, it was a bit tough. So, and actually, that ended up being a really shitty year. So you've got that ahead of you. No, I'm joking. to be honest... Oh, I just thought that was interesting because I think, although that's coming from the other side, I think there'll be a lot of people. Yeah, there was a lot of people saying kind of similar things of like, I know that I'm going to be in a scenario with someone for the long haul. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm not prepared to communicate. What do I do? And it really is just like you're hanging on by a thread and it's tough.
Yeah.
What I also thought was interesting was that it's so tricky. Let me read it. The bit where they say, first time of uni, best friends with a boy who'd always complain about his girlfriend from home.
Oh, my God.
Oh, like, I can just see it now.
It's really difficult.
I can just see it now. It's so difficult.
Relationships. So friendships and their relationships are really difficult because you're essentially accepting someone into your friendship group that you may not necessarily like. It's a really difficult thing because it's like, they're a huge part of that person now. But if you don't like them, then it's like, what am I going to do? Like, it's...
And it's also kind of the thing that we said in the last episode of kind of when your friend is with a scrappy do, when your friend is with kind of a time waster or just someone who you think doesn't deserve them, at what point is it okay to intervene and try and help them out? Or are you just being an asshole and you should mind your business?
Yeah, because it's like, it's not really your business. Tough. But also... It depends on the closeness of the friendship.
But also, we are responsible for our friend's happiness a lot of the time. Yeah,
it depends on the closeness of the friendship because I 100% with my... If I had some weird random person coming up to me saying, I don't... Or some, like, peripheral friend coming up to me saying, I don't like your... I don't like the person you're in a relationship with, I would be like, fuck off, it's none of your business. But if it was you or someone, I would be like, okay, I'm going to really listen. But then also, you're relying on that person not... shooting the messenger.
Well, if you came to me and said, I've got a problem with Jack and here's why, immediately I would be like, huh?
Well, that's alarm bells.
But that's also quite, that's quite specific.
Also, that's essentially marriage. Like, that is a very, very niche situation that you have been with Jack for so long and you live with him.
It would be really random
and also,
for you to say.
Also, it's so different because Jack is a very self-aware, kind of likeable person. So it would be like, if I'm saying to you, I don't like Jack, it's kind of like, well, give me a...
back off.
No, but Jack is a nice person.
Get your...
I'm like, he's just texted me. But it's very different because that would be like, well, why don't you like him? Like, there must be some other reason, but...
And why did you never say something?
But it's just like, give me your reasoning why and I'll listen to you. But if it's like...
Well, I've got a close friend right now who I... cannot stand the person that she's with.
Oh, really?
Can't stand him for so many reasons. I think he's just so undeserving of her, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Just massively holds her back, but I just can't. And it actually is getting to the point where it's causing, here I am, miscommunication, but it's got to the point where it causes a divide between her and I because she doesn't even know that I don't, she doesn't know how I feel about him.
Yeah. This is what I mean by it's so different. When it's someone that you don't like, suddenly the stories that they're saying don't seem so cute and don't seem so, you're not so happy when they say, oh yeah, we're going on holiday. You're kind of thinking, yeah, but
it's fake.
You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just becomes that you're a fucking idiot and it's just a weird divide because you can't even talk about it.
Yeah, what should this person do? So, okay, well, I think here in this person's scenario, I think it depends on what they want.
Yeah.
And also, I think it might be about maybe accepting that if what you want is kind of the best friend that you had in first term, irrespective of his girlfriend, you might not be able to get what you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's nothing on necessarily you. It might just be that that person is just in no place to be answering to his girlfriend, answering to you, answering to himself.
Yeah. The person seems quite confused and potentially like there might be a bit more to the situation with her saying that it's made him distance himself from all his friends and things like that. That seems like there's more to the situation than anything to do with you.
Mm.
Like, he's distanced himself from all of his friends. Like, that's very convenient that that happened.
Yeah, and you're not responsible. You're not this guy's caretaker. So it's not down to you to say, oh, you know, you don't have to distance from your friends, by the way, just because she told you so. Yeah. He's a grown... He should be 18 years old or over. Like, he's at university. Yeah. He should be smart enough to, like, hold himself accountable. You shouldn't have to.
But then it's hard because it's really difficult because it's like, wait, okay, so what, this person's now going to live with you next year. So this is going to come up. This is going to come up at some point when you're living with someone.
Yeah, I would say prepare. At some point, she's going
to
blow.
Yeah, this is going to come up. But it doesn't have to come up in a horrific way. I would, again, go in with empathy and go in not all guns blazing. Like, why did you, what, you only stayed in contact with us because you knew you were living with us, but you don't care, blah, blah, blah. Like, everything's changed. It's like, yes, everything has changed. And go in so sensitive.
Yeah, go in super vulnerable. I really miss you. Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe even say, like, I'm sorry. Maybe I haven't been the best about you and your GF.
Yeah.
If you feel like there is some place that you do owe an apology. And maybe he owes one too. Like,
I also think with someone getting a boyfriend that you don't like, that sometimes the best thing to do is, like, get to know them a bit and, like, spend time with them as a couple because, yeah, you're not going to know your friend anymore as their single friend because they're just different now. But you can get to know his new life and what's going on there and things like that, and make a bit of effort. And yeah, the girlfriend might turn out to be a fucking maniac, but you've at least given it like your best shot.
100%.
And like, you've tried.
Yeah. I think if you think it's worth it, you should try.
It depends how good a friend he is. If you want to be mates with this person, then keep it going. But if you just are happy just to live with them and know that they are in a weird relationship at the moment where they've become distant, the thing
and
is,
wait for
it
to blow over. Just make sure that you've got other good people around you and you're not waiting around for this guy to make your experience at uni better, because no one does that for you.
No.
Sad truth.
Bye.
Peace out. Okay, shall we call it a date?
Call it a date. Let's call it a date. I think we're done. We're nowhere near done. We're nowhere near done. We have so many more questions that we are obsessed with, but we just physically talk for about 45 minutes on each one, so we just can't.
But we are not fucking around here. If you want us to answer your question, if you missed out and you wanted us to answer blah, 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 just message us and say, loved the app.
I love this specific bit. You're amazing. Both absolutely beautiful. Can I just point out?
Exactly, yeah. Just ask us if you want another one, basically, because we will do it. If you don't ask, we won't do it. But if you do, we will, because we do enjoy it, and we hope you do too.
Yeah, I mean, I've loved this one, and it seems like, because this was a really requested one, and we've had so many questions about this, like...
Oh, also, how are you guys finding the quality? Because I think we've been managing this coronavirus crisis pretty well, in terms of the podcast, at least. In my personal life, I'm in ruins, but on the podcast, the quality is exceptional.
Yeah, no, the podcast, thriving. Me, dying. But other than that, it's
literally good. Okay.
Right, we'll see you next time, guys.
Thank you guys so much.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, I hate the way I say bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.